It is 11:02 now, and you are listening to The Morning Mix with Maya. It's Flashback Friday here on The Morning Mix. But every Friday at 11 a.m., we talk to Emily Wammeldorf of Planned Parenthood and Rusty Williams of the ACLU of West Virginia. They give us an update on what is going on at our legislative sessions. Lots has gone on this week, and I know that they've got a lot to tell us about. So I'm just going to go ahead and bring them on and let them take it away.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Maya. It has been quite a week here at our state capitol. I think the big takeaway really is that we are still seeing that the social issues are being prioritized over policies that actually address the needs of people in West Virginia. I don't think it's a secret that there's a lot of things that could be better. There are a lot of things that we could do to help the people here. And instead, we're seeing that our legislators are still really obsessed, particularly with this idea of biological sex, aka they are obsessed with attacking transgender West Virginians, still mirroring a lot of that rhetoric that we've seen at the national level, like we've talked about in past weeks. As Senator Garcia said in the Judiciary Committee meeting last night, maybe if they would add the words biological sex to bills that help people, we could actually see some of them start running. But until then, we are still stuck just talking about this issue and attacking this very small, very marginalized group of people in West Virginia, and attacking other these kind of social issues and prioritizing bills that are not helping but only harming people. Actually, Rusty and I decided we really want to talk about this Senate Judiciary meeting that happened yesterday. It was probably one of the more wild committee meetings that Rusty and I have ever sat in on. There were a couple of bills that ran, but the first one that they ran was SB 154, which I'm going to pass it to Rusty to run us through that whole situation.
Yeah, that meeting, I've been doing this work at the People's House for the last 13 years, and that was one of the most unhinged meetings I have ever personally sat and listened to, especially surrounding the debate was SB 154, and the short title is Prohibiting Instruction on Sexual Orientation or Gender Identity. But what the bill really does is it forces teachers and school administrators to out LGBTQ students should a student approach a teacher, and vocalize maybe, they're having some feelings and wrestling with their sexuality. In West Virginia, some of these teachers in these classrooms are the only safe spaces LGBTQ students have, right? And,
yes.
This piece of legislation will force teachers to out students to potentially abusive parents, basically putting students in some very, very precarious situations. And it seems to be the trend here, right? Like, there's multiple bills to introduce firearms into public schools. All of this is under the guise of keeping kids safe, but then they push stuff like this that literally does the opposite of what they're saying. And I think it's just misguided priorities are on full display here for anybody that's paying attention to what's going on. And it was really disappointing. There was a senator who accused a teacher of grooming students simply for being, willing to listen to these kids and to respect their privacy. This gentleman who just recently won a really prestigious award for being the teacher that he is, I was accused of being a groomer. Right. That's the kind of stuff that's happening here in committee. And Emily touched on it before. We have some really, really important and pressing problems in West Virginia. We have one of the worst infrastructures in the entire country. We have some of the worst public schools in the entire country. Where Southern West Virginia is dealing with devastating floods right now. And in those same communities where they're trying to clean up after, multiple thousand year floods, these are communities that have never experienced a clean glass of water falling from their taps. And rather than addressing these real important needs of West Virginia people, our legislators have chosen to spend their very limited legislative time kicking the most vulnerable people and the most vulnerable kids in our school system. And the only word that I can use to describe it, it's gross. It's literally gross to watch this happen. It's misguided priorities. And for folks listening, I really need you to check your priorities, because If your priority right now isn't paying attention to what the legislature is doing and doing everything you can to push back and get involved, I highly, highly recommend that you put your priorities in check and change things up, because this is an all hands on deck situation. Our democracy is being attacked at every level, on the federal level, and here in the state. Every marginalized community that is really suffering and needing help, they are the targets of this legislative body, and it's just unfortunate.
So, Rusty, what can people do as they're listening right now and they say, yes, I do want to help, but I don't know what to do?
Get involved with local organizations. There's mutual aid organizations out here doing the work, doing the flood cleanup, actually on the ground trying to make a difference. Follow organizations like Planned Parenthood and the ACLU, Citizen Action Group, West Virginia Free, Fairness West Virginia. There's lots of groups and organizations that are on the ground pushing back, but they need help. They need resources. If you can donate your time, do that. If you can donate money, do that. And for folks who want to take it a step further, again, I'm going to stress, you can file pre-candidacy paperwork to run in 2026 right now. You can file to run. That will allow you to set up your bank account to start raising money, and you can start building your campaigns right now. So when it comes time to file actual candidacy paperwork in January of 2026, you're already a year and a half ahead of the game. And I'm a firm believer that you can't rationalize with irrational people, and this legislative body is absolutely overrun with irrational bullies. And the only way we are going to change that is if we replace them with folks who are dedicated and resolved to make West Virginia the place we all know it can be. The way to do that is to run for office and take them out of their seats.
For anybody out there listening to that maybe is thinking, but I'm not sure that I'm the right person to do this. I don't think that I know, enough about these things. Educate yourself and look at who's up there right now. You can 100% do better than what's in there right now.
Speaking of irrational people and doing better, that Judiciary Committee meeting was not finished with the bill that Rusty talked about. There was also another bill brought up, SB 299, which removes the mental health exceptions in a ban on gender-affirming care for minors that we currently have. So that bill, the ban on gender-affirming care for minors, was passed in 2023. There is a very, very narrow exception for mental health written into that bill. And that exception is designed to explicitly be suicide prevention. That is the sole purpose of that bill, to prevent these youths who are at a 7 times higher risk of suicide than their cisgender peers. It's designed to keep them here with us. And our legislators are just completely determined to remove those mental health exceptions and have no exceptions whatsoever for this care for anybody under the age of 18. And this bill passed the Senate Health Committee last week. So I believe we talked about it in a bit more detail last week. It now passed the Judiciary Committee this week, and there was this 2 out-of-state anti-trans activists that testified virtually, because, again, they were not here and they're not from here. They probably never set foot in West Virginia or cared about a young person in West Virginia, but they shared a lot of misinformation about gender-affirming care, wildly misrepresented, and even straight up lied about how this care looks and how this healthcare works. And I think the thing to really note out of all of that is they were strongly advocating for criminal penalties to be written into this bill. Right now, the penalties are like the potential loss of a medical license or the ability to practice. They want it to go further, and they want to throw doctors, nurses, medical providers in prison for providing this life-saving, suicide preventative healthcare. And it was just a very difficult committee to sit through. It was very difficult to watch the way in which these people testifying and also our legislators were talking about some of our most vulnerable youth in this state. So I do want to say, if there's any of those folks listening, anybody in that community is listening, I do want you to know how loved you are. You are so loved by people like me and Rusty. You are so loved by Planned Parenthood and by the ACLU and by so many people in this community. That rhetoric does not represent the love that we know exists in West Virginia. So it was a tough watch, but it's also not even the only wild bill that happened this week either. I know, it just keeps getting worse.
Yeah, earlier this week, there was a five-hour discussion in the House Health Committee on Senate Bill 460, which changes the it changes the vaccine schedules and allows folks to apply for and get blanket exceptions for, you know, vaccinating their kids. Meanwhile, we have documented cases of measles right across our border in Kentucky. Texas, who passed similar legislation, they're dealing with a measles outbreak where, for the first time in decades, a kid actually died of measles, right? And our lawmakers here, again, they constantly talk about how, you know, they're doing all this stuff to keep kids safe, but then they want to make measles great again. None of this makes any sense to anybody paying attention. And it's just very unfortunate to see that, you know, this is the direction that our legislative body has chosen to go in. Again, they have 60 days. We have a part-time legislature. Aside from interim meetings, which, you know, for folks like Emily and folks that are in this game, interims are typically sales pitches that happen throughout the year. They have 60 days to address the issues facing West Virginians, and they have chosen to take this year's very limited legislative time and pass nonsense and push nonsense like this through the process. So I cannot stress it enough. Citizenship is not a spectator sport. You know, if you really want to affect change, you got to get involved. You got to get on the field and play the game. And, you know, unfortunately, right now, the schoolyard has been overrun with bullies, and they're doing what they want.
So can both of you give people information on how they can either get in touch with you or get in touch with your organizations to either help out, to find out more, to talk to people?
Absolutely. You know, as far as the ACLU goes, you can check us out on all social media. We also have ACLUWV.org. It's our website, but I'll always go a step further than that. You can call me directly. My cell phone number is 304-356-9437. If you want to email me directly, my email is rwilliams@ACLUWV.org. Anybody that's listening to this that wants to get involved, call me. I am happy to help. If you want to come to the Capitol and walk these marble halls and rattle some cages, I am happy to guide you around this building and show you exactly which cages need the most rattling. You know, and again, we talk about the very limited legislative time, you know, that they have to address these issues. We're already 25% through this legislative session.
Exactly.
You know, for better or worse.
Yeah, for better or worse, we're a quarter of the way through. And, you know, this is an all hands on deck situation. So anybody that wants to get involved with the work that we're doing at the ACLU and the work we're doing here in the building, I please call me. I am happy to help. I'll do anything I can to get you in the mix and get you up to speed as far as how you can advocate effectively, because we need as many advocates as we can possibly get.
And for Planned Parenthood, if you would like to get involved, we welcome all the same things. Please join us. Please come to the Capitol with us. I am here pretty much every day along with Rusty. We do a lot of this work together as a partnership, as a team. So if you want to get involved with Planned Parenthood, please follow us on Instagram at PPVSAT. In that Instagram bio, there's a link tree where you can find volunteer opportunities. You can find a link to sign up for email updates and how to get involved. You can also find us on Facebook at Planned Parenthood Votes South Atlantic. You can find us on X, formerly Twitter, sort of the hellscape that Rusty has discussed. It's PPSATWV. And so all of the updates can be found there. And in terms of me, I'm Emily Womeldorf on Facebook and Instagram. Feel free to add me there and we can connect and, you know, find me at the Capitol any day of the week. And I'm happy to work with folks and get you plugged into whatever we can. We need everyone, and public pressure, citizen pressure, it works. We're seeing it work. We're seeing these legislators be held accountable for their actions in a real way. And keep it up. Keep up the pressure. Keep contacting them. It is their job to talk to citizens. And I'm happy to help you figure that out if you don't know where to start.
And one other thing, Rusty, if you will give people your info on the bill tracker that the ACLU has.
Absolutely. You can log on to acluwb.org. Our bill tracker is in the main header, the headline on the top of the page. Click that link and you can follow every bill that we're following. It is updated in real time. We use a third party bill tracking system. So every time a bill moves, we get a notification and the website is updated in real time. So it's a very effective way to keep track of what's moving through the process. And, you know, if that isn't sufficient, you know, if you find that too cumbersome to navigate, there's a bill that, you know, you're really passionate about and you're following, again, call me directly. I am happy to help you follow that bill through the entire process. Our bill tracker it's available for anyone that wants to check it out.
And if I could leave folks with just one little note of hope, I think Rusty and I gave a lot of negative information. We're kind of a little bit of a bummer to talk to today for sure. But if I can leave folks with a little bit of hope, on Wednesday, we had 20 high school and college students here advocating for themselves, advocating for their peers, talking to their legislators directly about putting period products in schools so that their classmates were not missing class and having to go home or missing out on activities that are part of learning and growing. That was a beautiful day. It was really incredible do you know how big a group of 20 students actually looks like when you're walking around the Capitol? It feels like you're walking around with 50 to 100 of them. I mean, they are like packing into these little offices, and there's so many of them that we're all standing like sardines. And it was so powerful to watch them stand up for themselves, stand up for their peers, ask for what they need, tell these legislators what students really need in schools. So the kids are all right.
Awesome.
Absolutely. And to that, that really mirrored an experience I had last year. And I just want to share this anecdotal story really quickly just to show folks how important their advocacy is, right? Like Emily touched on it at the beginning of this call. For some reason, they seem to be laser focused on attacking LGBTQ kids and trans kids. And the fact of the matter is, most of them have never sat down and actually had a conversation with a trans kid or someone in the LGBTQ community. And last year on our lobby day, there were a group of trans college students. I took them around and introduced them to some lawmakers, and we were able to get a sit-down meeting at the very last minute with the former chair of Senate Judiciary. And I sat and listened to these kids very passionately and articulately share their life experience with a senator who was completely uneducated on the issue. And I watched that man cry.
Yeah.
And his response was, "Every lawmaker in this building needs to hear from you." That's what he said. And I watched those kids who walked into that office with no advocacy experience, scared to death, afraid they were going to, walking into a hostile situation. And I watched them in real time change a heart. It happened.
That's amazing.
The power that you have, I can't put into words how much power you have. Wield that power. Wield it. And we will do everything we can to help you wield that power.
Thank you so much to both of you for everything that you two are doing, like and putting in these days of listening to this hate and everything that goes on, and you still come out of it with this positivity.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for giving us this platform to share this information with listeners. It's critically important that folks stay up to speed as to what's going on. And again, it's critically important that you get on the field and play this game with us. The more people we have at our side, the better off we're all going to be.
And even if you've never advocated before, better late than never. There's time for everybody to start their journey, and we are happy to be here with you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. This happens every Friday at 11 a.m. we talk with Emily of Planned Parenthood and Rusty Williams of the ACLU, giving us this legislative update. We're going to post it up on our Facebook page, WTSQ, the info on how to reach out to Rusty and Emily again and for their organizations. Get involved, be informed, and help to make a change. All right, we're going to get back into the music here on this Flashback Friday. We got some Husker Du and Dead Set on Destruction.